Okay, on page Nunamid Beis, page 112 lines to the bottom of the page where it says Masnisa Mishnah, or 50b3 in the Schottenstein Gemaras. Okay, now the Mishnah we learned last time, but it was a few weeks ago, so we can learn it again. And we need it for the next piece of Gemara also. Okay, there's a din like this. You cannot marry a woman and her daughter. You cannot marry two sisters. Okay? It's a clear adult, it's forbidden relations. You can't marry a mother and a daughter. You can't marry two sisters. So what happens, the Mishnah says, a Mekadeshi Shobita. A Kai comes over to a woman and a daughter simultaneously, gives them both something, and says, both of you are betrothed to me. Both of you are Mekadeshis to me. Or, he comes over to two sisters simultaneously. He gives them both something. He says, both of you are betrothed to me. The din is Einam Mekudeshes. Neither of them are married. Why? As Umar is going to explain why. But bottom line is that because both of them together are not valid, and one after the next is not valid, okay, so then both together is also not valid. In other words, if a guy first went over to a mother and gave her a ring or money, whatever, says it at Mekudeshesli, then 10 minutes later he went over to the daughter and said the same thing, so the mother would be Mekudeshes, but not the daughter. Or if he went to the daughter first and then to the mother, so then because it's separate, the first one he did, that's valid, the next one's not valid. Or if he went to two sisters and separately he gave one Kedushin, and then 10 minutes later gave the sister, so the first one's valid, not the second one. Here the problem is he did them both together. And then we're going to explain the logic, why if you do them both together, it's considered as neither of them are, and in other words, they're free women, they can get married to whoever they want. They don't need a divorce, they don't need a get, they don't need anything. They're just not Mekudeshes.
Only because of mother and two different women, is it married at the same time?
Yeah.
No problem?
No problem. The guy comes with the two women simultaneously. Don't forget, a man can have many wives, right? Okay, so if a man comes over to two different women that are not brothers, sisters, not mother and daughter, just two women, he gives them together something that's at least worth two prutas, and he says, both of you are Mekadeshes to me, both of them are Mekadeshes, why not? It could be 10 women at the same time. They're all 10 Mekadeshes. And then the Gemara Taka says, the guys in the old days used to do weird things. There were five women standing together, and two of the five were sisters. That means three strangers and two sisters. Somebody gathered a basket of figs. It belonged to the women. But it was grown during the sabbatical year, which means it's free for all, so it's not theirs really. Right? Because in the sabbatical year, everything is ownerless. But Amen, he said, all five of you are betrothed to me, Mekudeshes to me, with this basket. So he went over to five women, but the problem is two of them are sisters. But he went over to five women with a basket of fruit, and he gives it to them, and he says, okay, you're all Mekudeshes to me. The Kibla Achas Meim Al Yidei Kulam, and one of the five women accepted it for all the others. V'Amr HaChacham, and the Chachamim said, Ein Achis Mekudeshes. The sisters are not betrothed. None of them.
What if one of the women, other women said, I don't want to marry this guy?
No, if they don't want to, they don't have, but saying they all wanted to. Speaking of course they wanted, if they didn't want to, I can't come over to a woman against their will and say, okay, you're mine. They all told her to accept it for them.
Oh.
So the bottom line is, three of the women are betrothed, and two aren't. The two sisters aren't. So the case of the Mishnah is not only when you come of the two women who are sisters, it's no good, even if you have a whole group of other women. But as long as two of them are sisters, or mother and daughter, whatever it may be, none of them are married. But you see, all the others are. Okay.
How does this make a difference if the figs belong to him or not?
Oh, the Gemara is just saying, you're right, the Gemara is just saying what the case was.
Oh.
That happened to be the case. But you're right, if it was theirs, not Shemitah, it wouldn't be Mekudeshes. He has to give them something.
Right.
If it's theirs, he's not giving them anything. That's why the Mishnah is just saying it was their field, but it was Shemitah, the sabbatical year, so therefore it was fee ownerless, so it didn't belong to the women, so therefore he acquired it by picking it up, he gathered it, and then he gave it to them, so it would be a good Kedushin.
Sisters are not
Mekudeshes,
but the other three are
Mekudeshes,
or none of them are
Mekudeshes? No. Only the sisters. The other three are. So now the Gemara says, Minohani Mili, how do we know that if you do two sisters at the same time, or a mother and a daughter at the same time, it's no good? So Gemara says, Amir Ami Bar Chama. So Rami Bar Chama said, second of the wide lines over there. The bottom. Amar Ami Bar Chama, Amar Kram. It says like this: Ve'isha l'achesa l'ktzikach. A man is not allowed to marry a sister, a woman and her sister, l'tzrur, to make her rivals. B'chlal, the Gemara says in Yevamis that when the guy has two wives, the wives are rivals of each other because each one wants his money and his and him and his attention, and it's a rivalry. So he says like this, Ateira Amrita, the Teira says, Bishosh and Asutzadas Lazul Lazul. At the time they become rivals, meaning when you want to marry both of them simultaneously, Lohele Lukuch and Afila Bachos Mehem, neither of them are married. The Teira says like this, do not take, this is a literal meaning of the Pasuk, do not take a woman and her sister for them to become rivals. So the Gemara learns, the Gemara explains the pasuk to me like this. As soon as they become rivals, leisikach, it's not a valid kedushin. Therefore, the Gemara says, if you do two sisters at the same time, neither of them are married, are betrothed, because the Torah says, they learn out from a pasuk, the Torah says you cannot marry a woman and a sister while they become rivals. That means if they're becoming rivals simultaneously by doing kedushin with both of them together, it's not valid for either of them. Okay? So Rami Bar Chama, that was the name of this person, learns it out from a pasuk. Okay? Amalei Rava, so Rava says to him, Hiyachi, I don't understand. Hiyachi, Haina, Dechsiv, when the Torah speaks about, later on in the same pasuk it says, V'nichrasu anafashas ha'esis mikarev amam. When the Torah speaks about forbidden relations, the Torah says if you do it, they get cut off, they get cursed. The punishment is God kills you early. Okay? He says, E kedushin talitav siba, if kedushin is not valid with either of them, kares mi mechayiv. How could he get kares? Because it's not a sister and a wife. In other words, like this. The Torah says, don't take a woman and a sister that they should become rivals. Then the Torah says, if you do, the punishment is karis. Right? God kills him. So the Gemara says, if the Kedushin is not valid, how can you get karis? Because you didn't marry them. You never married a woman and a sister. If the Kedushin is not valid, because we're saying, if you simultaneously do Kedushin with two sisters, neither of them become married, so how can you be, if you live with them, you never live with a woman and you never married them. Huh?
How can it be
Karis? The Torah seems to imply that if you do, the punishment is Karis. But the Gemara says, if you do and it's not a valid Kedushin, how can you become Karis? In other words, to explain it very clearly, let's say Rachel and Leah are two sisters. Okay? So the Torah says, you cannot marry Rachel and Leah. Okay? You can't marry two sisters. So the Mishnah said, if you do Kedushin simultaneously with Rachel and Leah, it's not a valid Kedushin. None of them are married. They're free women. Okay? They're not married. Now, if a guy lives with Rachel, not marries her, a guy just had an affair with Rachel, and then he has an affair with Leah. It's not called the sin of marrying two sisters. Because it says you can't marry a woman and her sister. But there's no marriage here. Right? There's no marriage. You lived with her, you lived with her, but it's not marriage. Great, you're not married. They're not married to anybody. They're not married to you either. So if that's the case, how could the Torah say if you live with them you get karis? What's the why in kedushin leitafse? If there's no kedushin valid, because it's two sisters, and we learned in the Mishnah simultaneously you can't make kedushin. So karis mi mechayv. How could they get chayiv? Right. So you can't be.
Is it the simple meaning of the pasuk "Ish alachotam" means like at the same time, or means later on?
So that's what Rav is asking. So obviously, the pasuk cannot mean simultaneously. The pasuk has to mean one: you marry Rachel, and then you marry Leah, right? But that's not what the way Rami Bar Chama learned the pasuk. Rami Bar Chama learned that the pasuk is speaking a simultaneous kedushin to two sisters. It's no good. So then Rava asks, one minute, if it's no good, then there's no kedushin, how can they get karis? So therefore the pasuk cannot mean that. What does the pasuk mean? Simply, you marry one, and a year later marry the second.
Without divorcing the first.
Huh?
Without divorcing.
No, even if you divorce her, you can't. Oh. The pasuk says clearly, Isha l'achesa l'isikach, litzra l'galis ervasa aleha b'chayeha. According to Halacha, once you know, I know it's lied that it's done, but it's not justifying it. Let's say again, two sisters. If a guy married Rachel, okay, and he divorced Rachel, he cannot marry Leah as long as Rachel is alive, even though he's divorced. The Torah said, "Bechayel," as long as she's alive. If Rachel died, then he can marry Leah. Because Rachel's not alive. But even if he divorces Rachel, he cannot marry Leah. And if he does, punishment is karis, the kids are mamzerim. Yeah, I mean, it's a real forbidden relation. The kids will become a mamzer.
How does it make a difference if you
transfer
both at the same time or one after the other?
So, well, the Mishnah said, well, the Gemara's not done yet. Right. But the Mishnah did say a statement, though, that if you do Kedushin, okay, both of them together, neither of them are good. If you do it a minute apart, by the way, then the first is valid, the second one isn't.
Right.
Okay? But if you're doing it simultaneously, one act of Kedushin for both, the Mishnah says neither of them are Mekodeshes. So the Gemara wanted to learn it out from the Pasuk. So Rava said, but that's not what the Pasuk can mean.
Yeah, but how could he get a karet if the second one is not a marriage anyway?
No, if he does. But if he lives with her. If he lives with her.
Just living by the...
Well, one second. No. If they're not married. So you
but
never married.
One of them got married, then if you live with
correct.
The other one, without the kedushin,
correct.
Still the card.
Right.
Even if you're not, the way it seems to me, even if you're not married with neither one of them, and you have a relationship with two sisters,
it's not. No. It's not. No.
They don't have a card.
No.
But they still have fight. Okay.
Yeah, but you're not married to them. It's only married women have fights. Not married women don't have fight.
That's true. That's right. Because they.
How many times you find? How many times? No. How many times? This is so common today. Boyfriends and girlfriends live together for years, and they're happy, and they okay. Let's get married. Yeah. A year after they're married, they're divorced. Yeah. It's very, very common today. Yeah. It doesn't make sense. They're living together for 5 years already, whatever. And all of a sudden they get married. Huh? It doesn't work out.
What do you
think? Okay, you don't want to hear what I have to say. El Amar Ravis. So Ravis says like this. Kra b'za'achaza. The pasuk is referring, like we said, the simple meaning of the... When, take it more. I know you know it by heart, but just for the show.
Then it can fit anyone.
So Rav says like this. The pasuk itself is referring one after another. That means if you marry one sister, you cannot marry. Like we learned many times. How did Yaakov Avinu marry two sisters? Yaakov married Rachel and Leah. Okay? The question is even more. Because Bilhah and Zilpah were also sisters of Rachel and Leah. According to the Medrash. So how did Yaakov marry Rachel and Leah? There's a lot of answers on the question. One is that Yaakov Avinu didn't keep the Torah. Some people answer Yaakov Avinu kept the Torah only in Israel, not in outside of Israel. Yeah, but Avraham and Yitzchok and Yaakov, it's an argument we just discussed in the Shabbos afternoon. Avraham, Yitzchok and Yaakov, whether they kept Torah or not, there's different midrashim. There's three opinions. One opinion is they kept the Torah all over. Another opinion is they didn't keep the Torah at all. And the third opinion is they kept it in Israel, not outside of Israel. So according to one opinion, Yaakov, by Lavan's house, which was outside of Eretz Yisrael, married Rachel and Leah. Because he didn't keep the Torah outside of Israel. Therefore, when he came back to Israel, when he came back to Israel, Rachel died. As soon as he entered Israel, Rachel died. So some commentators say, why did she die? Because now he couldn't marry two sisters. Who was the first one he married? Leah. So Rachel was the no-no. So she died.
The question is, how would they know what's in the Torah that no one's written it yet?
Torah existed before the world did. You know, Yaakov went to the yeshiva Shem Vever for 14 years.
Yeah.
It was a Chabad yeshiva then he went to.
Okay,
well, yeah. So see, he was there for 14 years.
Okay.
So they learned, I'm sure, a lot of Gemara, Chassidus. I mean, they learned a lot of things.
Okay.
Umasnis. Oh, so then the question is, so where do we learn, you know, if that passage is referring to one after the next, that it's no good. So the question is, where do we learn that you can't marry him simultaneously? That the Kedushin is completely invalid for both of them. That's the expression of the... By the way, it's to such an extent, if a guy married Rachel, okay, and Leah was still single, see Yaakov, okay, Yaakov married Rachel, and then, a day, a year, it doesn't matter, he comes over to Leah, and gives her a ring and says it out mukadashusli, she's not married to him to such an extent. And she's a free woman to marry whoever she wants without a divorce. Because Yaakov's kedushin with her, because it's capital punishment of Karis, it's an invalid kedushin.
It's impossible.
Huh? It just doesn't work. So like a guy comes over to his sister. Comes over to his own sister who's not married. Yeah, gives her a ring in front of two witnesses. Okay, it says, hey, Atma Kodashisli, you know, she's not married, she's still a single girl.
So there's no threat of Karis then. Same is with the
Gur. No, if he lives. But if he lives with her, then there's Karis.
Oh, without being married.
Yeah. Huh? If a guy does Kedushin, it's not good. With a Jew. Okay. So it says, Masnis and Kedraba, our mission goes like Rabba. What's Rabbi say? Dama Rabbi said it didn't like this. Kol she'ena b'zachazeh, whatever cannot happen one after the next, afilu b'bachzachas enei, cannot happen even simultaneously. Okay? Now, Rabbi says this din, in many, the Gemara is going to discuss it, where Rabbi says and why he says and how he says it. But Rabbi said a rule. Any kedushin that doesn't work one after the next cannot work simultaneously either. Now, if a man cannot marry a woman and a sister one after the next, then it can't work simultaneously either. So the Rabbi says, not a pasuk. It's not a pasuk. Meanwhile, we don't know yet, but Rabbi just says a rule. Anytime one after the next doesn't work, simultaneously it doesn't work.
Just a logic. Why should it work? It's logical.
I would think because we don't know which one it affects, maybe both need a get. You could say it the opposite way too. Maybe if you do them simultaneously, maybe you can't live with either of them, but maybe they both need a get.
According to Halacha, you can't marry the sister either after, even if you divorce the
family. Right.
Is there any exception to
that? A guy comes over to this is also we can have later in the Gemara. A guy comes over to five women, okay, and he says, one of you are Mekudeshes to me. And he doesn't know which one it was. Doesn't remember. The girls don't remember. So what's the din? Each one needs a get.
Why?
If they want to marry somebody else.
Maybe he meant
that. So he can't live with... I mean, he can marry all five of them. Okay, we're going to see more details of this in the Gemara anyway. So the Gemara says like this. Kufa, we just said in the Gemara, Amar Abba said, a rule. Kol Sheina Bezachas, anytime something cannot happen one after the next, Afilu Bebasachas Eina, even simultaneously it can't happen. Okay? So all the way to the last word of the page. Eitz Ve'abayas, Abayas, the question on Abba. Rabbi seemed to say this then not only by Kedushim, but by all laws. If consecutively it doesn't work, simultaneously it also doesn't work. So he asked a question like this. Amar b'maiser, there's a din, let me explain this din. You have to give 10% of your crop to the Levium, maiser, right? You have to give 10% to the Levium. Now, what happens if a guy gives 12%? You think it's really, wow, the guy's so frum. He gave the Torah, if they give 10%, he's giving 12%. So the din is, peres misukonim, the fruit, that means the 88% leftover fruit is edible, maises mukukolim, but the maise cannot be eaten. Meaning like this, I have to explain this din. When I have a field, okay, and I gather all my crop, whether fruit, vegetable, whatever it may be. There are certain things we have to separate. You have to separate bikurim, you have to separate trumi, you have to separate maiser, you have to separate maiser mina maiser. There's a lot of maiser oni, maiser sheni. There's a lot of things you need to separate before you can eat the grains. Okay? Now, there's two parts to separating maiser. One is when I take, let's say I have 100 bushels. So I take 10 bushels, and give it to the Levi, right? Two things happen. Number one, that allows the 90 bushels to be eaten, because before you separate anything, it's called tevel. Tevel is grain that you're not allowed to eat because you didn't tithe it. That means truma, meisim, bikur, I mean all the things that you need to give. If you don't separate meisim, your grain is forbidden to eat. Okay? Then when I give 10% out of 100, so that 10% goes to the Levi. That 10% goes to the Levi. The 90% that's mine now becomes edible. Correct? Becomes edible. What happens though, the Mishnah says, that the Abaye brings down, what happens if I separated 12%? Now, that allows the 88% to be, 88 bushels to be eaten. The problem is, this 12% cannot be eaten. Why? Because 2 bushels out of the 12, nobody tithed from. You tithed 12 for the 88 remaining. So the 88 remaining are allowed to be eaten. And 10% is allowed to be eaten by the Levi. The problem is, there's 2 bushels here that are neither here nor there. They're not the grain that you separated from, because this is 2 more than that. And that wasn't included in the 88. The Levi can't eat it because it wasn't tithed. So 2 bushels are nishtahin, nishtahed, neither here nor there.
Because you said he gave 12% to the...
Yeah, but because the Torah says the 10% goes to the Levi,
so
those 2 extra bushels were never tithed from.
You mean if he decides to give 12% instead of 10%,
right,
those 2 will automatically not be considered?
They're not tithed.
What?
You can't eat them. Because the Torah says you have to give 10% to allow the fruits to be eaten. When I take off 12%,
yeah,
right? There's 100 bushels.
In the tithe.
What?
That should be included in the tithe.
But it's not. The tithe is only 10.
But he stipulated 12, so what?
But the Torah says 10. So the extra two are not tithed. They're not the tithing. And they're not what's tithed from, because you didn't tithe from it, because these are when, these were what you separated, not what was left behind.
So you just have to do 10%, then you do another
2%. No, the problem is, like it says, the miser, mukukolim, cannot be eaten.
What is that? So what do you give it to?
Huh?
What do you give this to?
You have a big problem. All 10, all 12 for that matter, remain forbidden.
What? You cannot take two.
No.
Because you don't know which one it's the other.
Because we don't know which one it is.
And the 88...
That you can eat. That's what it says. Pereisim misukanim. The remaining produce becomes edible. By the way, let me give you another example, which is prevalent today even in outside of Eretz Yisrael. When a woman bakes challah, okay, she bakes enough challah, you need to separate challah. Correct? Now, what do you do with the challah today? You take it, and then you burn it. That's what you do with it. What's the concept? There's two issues in the separation of challah. Number one, you can't eat the dough until challah was separated. Okay? So issue number one is, you need to separate challah for the dough to be edible. And then the challah, what do you do with it in the time of the Beis HaMikdash? They gave it to the Kohen. Right? But the separation of challah, or truma, or maaser, or whatever it is, did two things. It was a gift for the Kohen of the Levi, number one, but that also allowed the remaining grain to be eaten. Because if you didn't tithe it, if you didn't separate challah, you can't eat it. Right? So therefore, what do we do? Why do we burn the challah today? You know why? Because we don't know who's a real Kohen. So therefore, a Kohen would have to prove that he's a Kohen to grab it, to take it, say it's mine. A guy comes and says, okay, I'm a Kohen, give me the challah. Yeah? I could say to him, prove it. And he can't.
But will Mashiach know who's
on? Yeah, Mashiach comes. Yeah, it'll be good when Mashiach comes.
He's already here, right?
Yeah, but he's not in public. Now, okay. So the same thing with the miser. So therefore, what do we do with the challah? We burn it. So the question is, why do you take it off and burn it? If there's no kohen, just keep it. I mean, because you need the separation to permit the dough that you need to separate from. Here, when you separate miser, because the guy took 12% instead of 10%, the problem is like this. Your food, that's for sure it's taken care of, because you gave 10%. Correct? The problem is, you gave the 12%. So now, which one of the 12 is miser, and which one was untithed yet? Because you never tithed from those two. So therefore, the 12 cannot be eaten. That's what the Braisa says.
So you basically just, he cheated the way in out of the portion.
Yeah.
So better not to do 12?
No, it's better not to do 12.
But that's the final rule?
Let me ask you a question.
Is there a way around?
Let me ask you a question. The doctor prescribes medicine for you.
Yeah.
Yeah? One pill three times a day. Correct?
Yeah.
So somebody will think, if one pill three times a day works, I'm going to take 10 pills 10 times a day. Logic. If one pill three times a day cures me, if I do 10 pills 10 times a day, I'm going to get cured in 10 minutes.
Yeah, but I thought you can give up to...
What's going to happen to you?
I overdose.
No. That's when you're talking about tzedakah. But when you have a chil, the Torah says 10%, you can't give more. The Torah says you have to give 10%.
Oh, I see.
You're talking about giving money to tzedakah. Money to tzedakah, you can give as much as you want. But here the Torah says you'll need to give exactly 10. What?
If it's not quantity, you have to weigh it. What if you offer it?
It's in quantity. What?
If she has a big chunk of challah, and from each she's trying to separate to do medium challah and large challah and this, then she and did not bake yet, and she remembers that she did not separate, could she go to one of those smaller ones?
She has to put them all together.
She has to put them all together.
Yes, just call me about that now before the shiur.
You know, they have to put them all together, you mean like they haven't been baked yet?
No, you have to put them together on a tray that they should be considered one.
Even though they're separated.
Right, even though you've shaped them already. The truth, even if you bake them already, you can you have to separate challah.
They can separate challah from a fully baked loaf of bread?
Yeah.
So what's the
but it has to be, I mean, 3 pounds or 4 pounds, whatever it is, the amount of dough, the flour that you need to be obligated to separate.
Initially it was the right amount, but now it's three smaller ones.
Doesn't matter, but by putting them together in one tray and covering it with a towel or a shmat or whatever, so that unites them.
One, and then you separate them. Mm-hmm.
What if there's a doubt that one was separated? You shouldn't eat it.
You need to separate. You need to separate without a bracha. Okay, but anyway, we're not learning challah. Anyway, so it says like this. A guy that gives a lot of meiser, okay? Remember, Rabbi said a din that if it's no good consecutively, it's not good simultaneously. That's what Rabbi said. Like in our Mishnah, right? You can't do two sisters at the same time. So Abaye says like this. There's a braisa that says that if somebody gives more meiser than the 10%, peireisa mesukanim, the fruits are good to be eaten, but meiser smukukolim, the meiser is ruined, it cannot be eaten. Like we said, because it's all mixed up. So Abaye says, Amai, why? Neima say, kol sheine bezach hazeh, whatever cannot happen consecutively. Afilu bebasachas eina, even simultaneously can't, meaning like this. You cannot separate meiser more than 10% separately. If a guy separates, a guy has 100 bushels, yeah? And a little senile. So he separates 10, and then separates another 10. Okay? Do those 10 become meiser? No. Right? Because he already gave meiser, he can't do it again. Now, if a guy over here is giving 12, it's like giving twice meiser simultaneously. So if meiser and meiser is no good, why over here does it become meiser? Messed up meiser, but it's still meiser. According to Rabbi's rule, that if consecutively, one after another, it's no good, so then simultaneously is also no good. How can you say that when you separated 12%, the meiser is good as far as eating the fruits? Rabbi said, what are you talking about? Shani meiser the isa lechatzoin. Meiser could be done half of the grains. I'll explain in a second. But the Yomar, if a guy says, Tiskadish pauga techitza kitchum, if a guy says about meiser, you know what? I'm going to give, let's say, he has to give, just to make it easier, he has to give 10 apples for meiser. So he gives 100 apples, okay? So he has to give meiser 10 apples, yeah? What happens if the guy says, you know what? Meiser is 20 half apples.
20
half apples. He has to give, he has 100 apples, right? 100 apples grew. So he has to give 10 apples. What happens if the guy says, 20 half apples are meiser. The meiser is good. Right? Yeah? So by meiser, Rabbi says like this, you know why over there it's good? Because you can do half at a time. By women, you can't say half of each. He comes to two sisters, he says, okay, half of each of you become Kodeshus. That doesn't work. That's not going to work. So then, simultaneously, is not good either. In other words, by Maisir, consecutively would be good. If a guy would say 10 halves and 10 halves. Right? But by women, you can't be Mekadosh two half sisters. I mean, two halves of sisters. It's not going to work.
We don't call it Maaser. If it's 10 half, if 10 of half, we don't call it Maaser. No.
Yes, it is.
Yeah?
Sure. In other words, Rabbi says like this. Technically, you know why over there, when you gave 12%, it's good? It's good for your fruit that you can eat the fruits?
For the 88?
He said, because technically, when you give 12, 12 can be really 10%. Because he doesn't mean 12 whole bushels. He means 12 bushels
that equal 10%.
In other words, 12, Rabbi says 12 bushels could be 10%. Because who said you mean the whole bushel? Maybe you mean 0.8? What is it? Whatever.
Whatever you want.
The count is, huh? Whatever it is. That is what you're doing, Meiser. But by women, you can't say, okay, half of you are Mekadeshes to me. It doesn't work. So therefore, Rabbi says, by marriage, if consecutively doesn't work, simultaneously also doesn't work. So the Gemara asks the question, okay, I'll show you a case of Meiser where you can't do halves. Says that a Meiser behema deleka chatzoin. The Meiser behema, tithing animals, you have to give exactly 10. The lack of a zacher is that you can't do two tithings simultaneously. Meaning like this. The way it worked, if a guy had 100 animals in his flock that year, he has to give 10 animals. Okay? But the way it worked, different than Meiser. Meiser, you had 100 bushels, you took 10 and separated it. Okay? Meiser behema, tithing the animals, with a whole different system. The animals were lined up in a line. Okay? They lined it up at the flagpole, you know? And they had a narrow passage, and animals would walk through. And the guy counted. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. The 10th one they hit with a red stick, making a red mark on the animal. Then they did another 10. And again, the 10th animal. By animals, you can't do a half an animal miser. You can't say, okay, I have 100 animals, I'm going to give 20 half animals for miser behemoth. You could do that by grains, but you can't do that by animals. Right? And yet, Amar Rava said, concerning miser, Yotzeh Shnayim Basiri, what happens, here the animals are going, 1, 2, 3. When it came to 10, two animals jumped out together.
So which one
gets? No, 1 second. Okadan Asiri Asiri. And he called both of them 10. He called both of them 10. The din is Asiri Va'achad Asimuravan Zebazeh. Okay? It's 10 and 11 intermingled. What does that mean? What? Both become holy. Both become holy. Practically speaking, what do you do with it? Because the din is like this. There's Meiser, Behema, was brought as a korban, and the Kohanim ate the meat. Okay. Now you have two animals that are automatically sanctified for the Beis HaMikdash. Because both of them he called 10. Right? It was really 10 and 11, but bottom line is, both, he said 10 and 2 jumped out. Now, both became korbanos. So you can't give both for Meiser, for the 10th one. So you give one Meiser, and one is a donation shlomim. Okay? And both animals have the stringencies of both types of sacrifice. Now, the Gemara asks, just think, if 10 came out, and then 11 came out, and you hit 11, would that make it holy?
No.
No, because it's 11, it's not 10. So according to Rava's rule, that 10 and 11 consecutively would not be both animals holy, then according to Rabbi's rule, if they came out together simultaneously, it should also not be good. Neither of them should be holy. Rabbi set a rule, if consecutively it doesn't work, so simultaneously it also doesn't work. Now, if animal 10 went out, then you made it holy. And then 11 went out, and the guy said 10. He was senile. He said 10, it's worthless. Because 10 went by already. This is 11. So according to Rabbah's rule, that if consecutively it's no good, simultaneously it's not good, so both animals should not be, neither of them should be holy. And Rabbah says they're both holy. Right.
They're both holy?
So the Gemara's question is on Rabbah's rule. Obviously, Rabbah's rule has to be wrong. Because if you hold consecutively, it's no good. Simultaneously, it also should not be good. Here, consecutively, it's no good. And simultaneously, it's good. Right? So the Gemara answers, no, that's still different. Shani Maisa Behemam. Maisa Behemam is different. The Isa Betoyes. Because there is a din. If you made a mistake, it's still valid. For instance, the Tanan that says in the Mishnah like this. What happens if by mistake a guy called 9:10, he called 10:09, or he called 11:10? When the ninth animal was going through, the guy said 10. Okay? It was really the ninth.
Right.
But he said 10.
No.
Then the next animal went out, he said 9. Then the third animal went out, which is 11, he said 10. So he basically said 10, 9, 10. But 9 was really 10. 10 was really 9. And 10 is 11. Right? You got that? I mean, it's very simple.
Nice.
So the din is all three are holy.
Mm.
What do you see from there? That Maisa Behema, even if you make a mistake, it's all holy. So even consecutively, it's going to be good. So over there is different. So over there, if it's good consecutively, it's good simultaneously. But by marriage of two sisters, if consecutively is no good, then simultaneously it's also not good. So the Gemara says, okay. So the Gemara asks a different question. Hari Teidam, a carbon Teidam, which it has to be the exact amount, and I'll explain this whole thing in a second. Okay. There's a din like this. When a guy brought a Thanksgiving, not the turkey. A guy had a what, like we bench gomel, right? For those things you bench gomel. So you got sick, you were in the desert, you were in the sea, whatever. You're in jail. So you get out, you have to do today we do Berchus HaGomel. But in the time of the Beis Midrash, they brought Karban Toda. Now, Karban Toda was like this. Before you slaughtered the animal, you had to bring a Karban. You also brought 40 loaves of bread. You had to bake 40 loaves of bread was part of the Karban. It was called Lachme Toda.
Full challah or a little mini
challah? I don't remember the exact size. You had to break the Lachme Toda. Now, you have to separate 40 loaves. Then when you shechted your animal as the korban, the loaves became holy. 4 of the loaves went to the kayanim, 10%. 4 loaves went to the kayanim. And the rest, the owner ate.
Whoa.
What?
How do you eat all of them? Do you have to eat all of them?
You ever go to a shul by a kiddush and you ask how people eat?
Oh, I see what you're saying.
In 2 days.
In one day. Okay. Now, the din is like this. Rashi explains the Gemara here. What happens if a guy wanted, he made a mistake. He wanted to make dark flour holy for the korban, and by mistake he gave the light flour dough. You know, whole wheat versus regular wheat. So the din is because he made a mistake, they're not holy. They're not consecrated.
He intended to do one type and accidentally.
If he intended with the intent to consecrate loaves made of dark flour, and the loaves were in fact made of lighter flour, the loaves do not attain consecrated status because erroneous consecrations are not effective. Okay, not like Meiser, where if you made a mistake on the Behemah, it, over here it's not. Now, so what does it say? It says like this. The less in Nami Bezach is that you can't bring 2 loaves of 40. You can't bring 80 loaves. You have to bring 40. So a guy brought 40, and then another 40. The second 40 are no good. Correct? Second 40, because you brought already 40. You can't bring another 40. It doesn't become consecrated. Yet, the Itma yet it says, Teda shenish chatal shmeinim chalis, if a carbon teda was slaughtered, the animal was slaughtered for this teda. When there are 80 chalis, Chizkiya Amar Chizkiya says, Ketchalei arboy miteich shmeinim. 40 out of the 80 become holy, and the other 40 are mundane. Rabbi Yechanan Amar, Leikotchalei arboy miteich shmeinim. None of the 80 become holy. Okay? Now, according to Chizkiya, Gemara is asking from Chizkiya's opinion. According to Chizkiya's opinion, if you slaughtered a korban with 80 loaves there, 40 become holy and 40 don't. Correct? Yet, if you brought 40 and then later brought another 40, the second 40 are no good. Correct? So if a rabbi's rule is that if consecutively it's no good, simultaneously it's also no good, so how can Chizkiya hold that 40 out of the 80 become holy? None of them should become holy. Like Rabbi Yechanan says. Rabbi Yechanan says, none of them become holy. Right?
You can't say lechatchila over the event?
He meant
that?
Huh?
You can't say lechatchila...
No, because by Kedushin, Rabbi says none of the women are married. Because if you can't do Kedushin with two sisters, one after another, you can't do it simultaneously. So now the Gemara is asking from Karbon Taida that Chizkiya holds that if you do 80 loaves together, 40 are holy. Right? Even though if you brought 40 and another 40, the other 40 are not good. But then if so, all 80 should be no good. So the Gemara says, no, you're wrong. Lavi itmar Allah, you're mistaking that argument. Because Amr Rabbi Shua ben Levi said the following. Hakum made them, everybody, mean Chizkiya and Rabbi Yechim both agree, that if a guy says, Kotcha arboy miteich shmeinim, that if he says, let 40 become holy out of the 80, Kotcha they become holy. If a guy, when they brought 80, right? If a guy says, let 40 become holy, everybody says they become holy. Lo yikatcha arboyim, elem ken kitcha shmeinim. What happens if a guy says, I only want the 40 loaves to become holy if all 80 become holy? That's the condition. The din is, like, kach, none of the loaves become holy. Ki leinech ku ele bistam. They argue if the guy brought 80 loaves and didn't say a word. Meaning like this. If a guy brought 80 loaves, that's what he did. He brought 80 loaves and then shechted the carbon. Right? So everybody says like this. If he says that 40 out of the 80 become holy, all 40 become holy. If he says 40 can become holy, only if the 80 become holy, then none of it becomes holy. Where's the argument? The guy didn't say anything. He just brought 80 loaves, and they shechted the carbon. Okay?
The carbon
is okay.
Regardless of
right. But Chizkiya says, if he brought 80... he probably meant 40 out of the 80 should become holy. He didn't say anything. Rabbi Yechanan says, no, if he brought 80, he wanted all 80 to become holy. And therefore none of them are holy. But it's nothing to do with our, like he says like this. Keep ligile nachl alibistam. When the guy didn't say anything about the extra 40 loaves. Marsa v'chizkiya says, he meant 40 should become holy and 40 alternatives. I mean, if something's wrong with one of these, you take another one. Or Mar Savin Rabbi Yechanan says, the carbon God will come a chavin. He meant to bring a big carbon of 80. And 80 is no good. Okay? So the bottom line of the Gemara is that Rabbah's rule, okay, Rabbah's rule still exists. Rabbah's rule still exists. Okay, now, so, bottom line is, the Gemara is still trying to explain this Mishnah of ours. The Mishnah says, you come to two sisters, or a mother and a daughter, you give them a basket, okay, and you say, both become a Kodeshes to me, they're no good. None of them become a Kodeshes. Rami Bar Chama wanted to learn out from a Pasuk, Rabbi refuted him, okay. And Rabbi said a new rule. Okay. Rabbi said a rule that if it's consecutively no good, simultaneously no good. The Gemara asked the question for Maisa. The Gemara asked Maisa, you could do half. Animals, doesn't matter if you make a mistake. Challah, again, that's not a question, because he meant 40 out of the 80. So the bottom line is, Rabbi set a rule. You know why our Mishnah says that if you do Kedusha with two sisters simultaneously, it's no good? Because if consecutively it's no good, simultaneously it's no good. Okay. So now the Gemara asks, why does Rava have to answer like that? Rava quoted Rabbi's din, that if consecutively it's no good, simultaneously it's no good. Rav himself, and there's a very famous argument coming up, we're not going to get into the actual argument today. When Abai and Rav argue throughout the entire Talmud, the halacha is always like Rav, except in six places. It's called Yal Kagam. One is Yishalei Midas, the kids in Yeshiva learn Neila Metzias. One case is this case of a Gemara coming up. Rav said there's an argument between Abai and Rav. If a guy does Kedushin in a way that it's impossible to halachically live with a woman, is it a valid Kedushin or not?
This is a single proposal, right?
Single proposal. Well, the actual case would be, like the Gemara says, the case would be a guy came over to a pruta to two sisters. Until now, the guy came to two sisters and did proper Kedushin with both of them. Yeah? But Rava has a different case. And it's arguing between Abai and Rava. A guy comes over to two sisters with one pruta and says, one of you should become Mekudeshes to me. The case of the Mishnah, he goes over to both of them and says, both of you Mekudeshes to me. This case is a very simple case. A guy comes over to two sisters. He likes them both. He gives a pruta to both of them. And he says, one of you become Kadeshas to me. But he doesn't say which one. Abaya holds, because we don't know which one it is, both need a get.
Oh, wow.
It's a valid Kedushin.
What if one wants to marry him? Then does the other one still need a get?
Yeah, because maybe he married the first one, the other one. Right?
What does Rava say?
He can give them both. One second. Rava says, lo have a Kedushin. It's not a good Kedushin for either of them. Why? Because if he's going to marry sister Rachel, okay, there's a possibility that the Kedushin was effective to Leah. If he really meant Leah, or if the Kedusha was really valid for Leah, can he live with Rachel? No. It says it's his wife's sister. The same thing as Leah. He can't live with Leah because maybe he married Rachel.
Why could they establish in such a way that it's not...
Because then the people would be normal.
What?
because then the people would be normal. That's the cases.
No, I'm saying why can't the halacha be established in the sense that if it's not specified, it's no good?
No, but the halacha in this case, like believe it or not, like abaya, that it's a valid kedushin, which means both sisters need to get.
I'm curious why they decided with abaya.
Because that's the Gemara rules. The Gemara rules.
What if one of them took the proof but didn't accept upon herself that she's she is, regardless of her intent?
Oh, yeah, she responds no. She has the right to say no.
Right.
Yeah, but they both said yes.
Oh. Does they know which one?
The basket would be.
Huh? Does
they know which one?
They both say yes. So
he went to both of them.
Does they know which one?
He went to both.
Does they know which one is like he meant?
No.
Forgot?
No, he said they're the same. They're twins. Okay. Either one. Whoever wants him.
So you can.
And what happened? They both say yeah. That's the case. No, because listen.
He doesn't know which one would.
No, if a guy comes, obviously you can't do kedushin against the will, right? If a guy comes over to two sisters, and says, "Okay, one of you are kedushas to me," and both of them say, "Go fly a kite."
No.
There's no kedushin. That's not a question. You can't come over to a woman against her will. Okay, so obviously, what's the case over here? A guy went over to two sisters, gave him a pruta, and said, "One of you are mukadeshes to me." Okay, and each one says, me. Now what do you do? So according to Abaya, Abaya held its kedushin. Meaning, one of them is married, but we don't know which one. Correct? So you need to give a get to both. Rava says it's not a valid kedushin, right? So now, so the Gemara's question over here is, I'm going to leave with this. Yeah. So the question is, why does Rava have to learn like Rava? That if it's consecutive, it's no good, simultaneous, no good. Why doesn't he say a simple reason? Because when a guy is Mekadesh two sisters, he can't live with either of them. And if he can't live with either of them, Rava himself holds such a kedushin is not valid. Why does Rava need to say the explanation of the Mishnah is according to Rava, who says if consecutively it's no good, simultaneously it's no good? The Gemara says, why does he need that? He, according to his own halacha, that if it's not a kedushin that's livable with them, it's not a valid kedushin. If he comes over to two sisters with two protas and says, I'm mikadosh each one of you, right? He can't live with either of them because maybe the other one's the one. And that's why it's not a good kedushin. Okay, can we continue?
Okay,